Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. It's Wednesday night. It's time to hang out again. I'm excited to be able to hang out with you guys the best way we can here. Tonight, we're going to talk about one of the issues that I feel like makes it difficult for us in the current circumstances that we have. When I started thinking about kind of the root cause of why I was becoming discouraged and what was my biggest problem, what was my biggest issue with not feeling like I could do anything. And I feel like it's because I get to the point where I don't feel like I can control my situation anymore. I can't change the way things are. I can't change the stipulations and the guidelines and all those things. And we're just kind of subject to those. And it makes me feel kind of powerless. And I got to thinking about that and thinking about how we serve a God who's more powerful than anything. And if we can get everything right, we can tap into that power like he has. And over the next couple weeks, I want to hopefully help us and talk about some principles and some pillars of power. And tonight, we're going to talk about one of the first things that comes along with power is preparation. I'm going to go through that tonight, talk about three guys in the Bible, very powerful men in the Bible, able to do a lot for God and for the kingdom, and some things we can learn from them, hopefully help us out and encourage us and help us to be effective in the community around us. Before we start tonight, we'll do the same thing we always do. We'll pray and then we'll get going. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've given us. I thank you for the time that you've allowed us to be with each other tonight. And I thank you for the time that you've allowed me to speak. And I pray that you would just help us tonight. Help me to be clear in my thoughts. Help me to be clear in my words so that I can just be able to speak a word to people that you've tried to speak to me. And I pray that I would articulate it the way that you gave it to me so that it can be helpful and so that it can be encouraging and something that just brings us peace and brings us hope. I pray that you'd be with the people of our church and in our families, God, that need you in whatever way that may be. I pray that you would just help them where they are. God, I pray that they would just find the comfort, find the healing, God, just find what they need from you, the awesome, most perfect need meter. And I pray tonight that we would just know you in a deeper way when we leave here. And God, I pray that you would just help get me out of the way, keep Logan out of this equation, and help me to be effective for you. I love you and I thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, the last couple weeks, I feel like just kind of been struggling with some discouragement. It's kind of one of those times of the year where I just feel tired. I just feel like I just can't go, or, you know, I don't have the energy that I did when spring first came around. We're excited and everything's ready to go. It's kind of toward the end of summer and we're just kind of getting tired. And I started to think about one of the reasons that I feel, like I said before, ineffective or not as energized, or why do I feel like I can't make an impact in the community or in my workplace or in my home. And it goes back to the root cause of it is I felt like I was powerless. I feel like I can't, it's really difficult for me to be able to feel like I have power in the situation because, you know, we've got some mandates, we've got some stipulations, we've got some guidelines we have to follow and all these things, and it just makes it more difficult for us to be able to do things the way that we're used to doing them. And over a while, that just gets tiring and it becomes taxing. And tonight, I want to start this series and talking about pillars of power. And the first pillar that I'd like to talk about tonight is preparation. And we're going to talk about three guys in the Bible. Talk about Moses, Abraham, and David. Three guys, kind of figureheads of power in the Bible. Kind of three men that we think of as the all-stars. Maybe they're on the A-team for sure. And how God spoke to them, how Moses had to prepare to follow, Abraham had to prepare his faith, and David had to learn to fight and to prepare to fight. And I think those are three things tonight that we are being called up to do as well. And we'll just jump right into it. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, 10 and 11, we'll start there. When we jump into this scripture, we see that at this point in Moses' life, we're going to talk about how he had to prepare to follow before he could lead and follow directions before he could lead. And this point in his life, he's kind of a fugitive. He was born a Hebrew, raised as an Egyptian in the palace, kind of had a life of luxury. And then in Egypt, he had killed an Egyptian that was abusing a Hebrew man. Scared for his life, ran away. He's in exile. And he's out in the wilderness. God calls him like God sometimes does in kind of a dramatic fashion in the burning bush. We know him and we know that story. But tonight we're going to start in, like I said, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Get this pulled back up here. All right. So verse 4 says, "When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush," to look at the bush that was on fire here. "Moses, Moses," he called out to him. "Here I am," he answered. "Do not come closer," he said. "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place you are standing is holy ground." Then he continued, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt and have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings." We're going to jump down to verse 10, and maybe, here we go. We skip a few verses here. Verse 10 says, "Therefore go, I am sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses asked God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Verse 12 says, "I will certainly be with you, and this will be a sign that I have sent to you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship God at this mountain." So what happens here is God calls Moses. And when I think about Moses, I hadn't really thought about him in this light before. But, you know, like I said, Moses was born a Hebrew. In the time he was born, the Pharaoh was killing Hebrew babies to try to control that population. And his mom put him in a basket, sent him down the river. We know he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised in the palace. And because he was raised in the palace, I feel like he had lived a life of luxury. And I think that maybe before in his life, when we think about the way he was raised, he probably wasn't very good at following directions. He's kind of one of those guys who could get what he wanted when he wanted it, was able to say, "Hey, I need this," and "Hey, I want that," and people brought it to him because of his status in the country and in the community that he lived in. And he kind of had grown up that way. And then we also see that whenever he ran from after he committed murder, he ran to the wilderness and fled. He went out to where he was kind of his own boss. He was kind of doing his own thing. Nobody told him what to do. Nobody did anything to contradict the way he felt. And when God called him out, God called him to immediately start following directions. He sets a bush on fire, it doesn't burn up, and then he calls out to him and says, "Moses, Moses," and he says, "Here I am." So walks over to it, checks it out, and immediately God starts laying out these things he needs to follow. "Take your shoes off, this is a holy place. Just here I am. I want to send you to deliver the Israelites." And when I think about this, and I think about this, how this can relate to us as Christians right now, I feel like that a lot of times in our lives, especially being American Christians, we find ourselves be living a life of spoiled Christianity. And what I mean by that is, you know, we live in a place where our primary needs for humanity are met most often. Most of us are privileged enough to have food, water, and shelter, and we don't even really have to think a whole lot about those things. And that, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we kind of work into that mentality as well. God saves us. We ask Him and He saves us, and we believe in Him, and we get that gift of salvation. And then what happens is we begin to live our American lives, where we can go on about our own life, we can do our own thing, we can pursue the American dream, we can do all those things. But until we have a major conflict, and until we have a major problem in our life, we're not really good at following directions, because we're used to just kind of getting our way with how Christianity goes. And I think in this time period, in the circumstances that we're in currently, we see that. There's a lot of people who are Christians who have lived a spoiled Christian life. And when we get to this point and we say, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? Or, oh no, I can't do this anymore. I can't go to church and I can't get what I needed for my Christianity on Sunday mornings anymore. What am I going to do? And it takes us turning to God and saying, God, what do I do? How do I live like this? What am I supposed to do? And God clearly lays it out for us, but we have to learn to follow those directions. We have to not be spiritual toddlers anymore, where we're difficult in following directions. And I've got two kids. I got a 4-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And my 4-year-old son struggles with following directions sometimes. He loves me. I love him. He's awesome. But I can tell him to do something and give him a minute or two and ask him if it's done. He'll say, yeah, and he hasn't even moved. And he just doesn't do well with that. But my 8-year-old daughter is really good at it, for the most part. She has lapses. But for the most part, she understands how to follow directions. And that's because she's been taught. She's been taught by her mother and I. She's been taught by her school teachers, her other family that she's involved with. She's been taught by the situations that she's been in how to follow directions. And I feel like even being the difference of, you know, a spiritual 4-year-old and a spiritual 8-year-old goes such a long way in preparing us about how to tap into the power that God has for us. So tonight, first thing, preparation for power. And to prepare to tap into the power that God has, it's immense. It's just an enormous amount. But to prepare ourselves for that, we've got to learn to follow directions. We got to move on from being spiritual toddlers. We can't be the spiritual 4-year-old anymore like Siler is. We got to be more like Kenna and be the 8-year-old who can follow directions. Even if she struggles sometimes with multi-step directions, but she can follow simple one-step, two-step directions pretty easily. And we've got to move to be more like that. And we've got to be able to go from where God called Moses in the wilderness out of the exile and out of that time in his life where he was running from things, and he got to the point where God called him out and he started giving excuses, which is our natural response. He says, man, I can't talk well. I'm not the guy for this. Send somebody else. And God just, he didn't want to hear it. God knows what he wants, and he knows what he wants to do in us, and he has a plan for us, and he knows how he wants us to do it. And he's kind of tired of excuses, I feel like. And I know in my life, I feel like I've kind of been getting that in my prayer time, like, man, Logan, quit. Quit whining. Quit being about a baby about things. It's time to step up and start following directions. It's time to step up and start furthering my kingdom. And this is, you know how to do that. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, speak good news, be fishers of men, go love people, love your neighbor as yourself. And those things that are just simple commands that we fail to follow. And in times like these, we see that the damage is enormous. Because if we don't do those simple things because we can't do the big things like we used to, it causes a ripple effect through our communities that we deal with. So the next thing tonight, we're going to talk about, we have to prepare our faith. And Abraham, I like this guy too, man. God tells him, God shows up here, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 5. Let's jump in here, kind of jump into the story. It says, after these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram. It's Abraham, he just hadn't changed his name yet. It says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me, since I'm childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus, or Eleazar, whatever, some weird name. Abram continued, look, you've given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house will be my heir. Now the word of the Lord came to him, this will not be your heir. Instead, the one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky, count the stars. If you're able to count them, then he said, if you're able to count them, sorry. Then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. So God shows up and he says, look, Abram, I've got this awesome deal for you. I'm going to basically birth a nation out of you. Abram's kind of old at this point too. And God starts talking about this offspring and how he's going to do this. And I can just imagine him looking at God and being like, that's cool. and I really feel like you're big and powerful, but I'm old, my wife's barren, and your promise doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And I think sometimes in our life, we begin to discredit what God wants to do in our life because the promise he gives us is so big, it doesn't even make sense. And I feel like that's kind of what Abram did. And later on, we see in the scriptures that Abraham, he just couldn't see how God was going to make that happen. And what happened is he began to downsize and shrink that promise to something that seemed logical to him. And he was a little bit subject to some temptations and some lies from Satan when his wife came to him and said, "Look, dude, I believe what God told you, but I'm old, you're old, I can't have kids. I've got a slave that you can have a child with," and maybe that's what God was talking about. So he began to take that and let his mind manipulate that in a way that said, "Okay, God said he's going to birth a nation out of me. I'm this old. She can't have kids. We're both like this. Physically, it's impossible. It's not going to work. So I bet what God meant was he wanted me to do it this way." And he didn't have the faith to believe that God could do the big thing. He didn't have the faith to believe that God could do what he said he would do. And the scripture tells us God's word doesn't return void. What he says he's going to do, he's going to do. And when he sends his word forth, it's going to happen. And so what happens so many times, and has happened to me in my life, is I look at the situation, I'm like, "Man, there's no way that dude can be saved. Man, there's no way my whole family can know Jesus. Man, there's no way my marriage is going to be fixed and right and perfect like God wants it to be. There's no way my heart can be that tender or that loving. It's just no way." But God has all of those blessings for us, and he wants to give us the equivalent of the same blessings to him, but we've got to have faith that he can do that. And before God can bestow the power on us that we need to have, and the power that he wants to give us, we've got to have the faith that he's going to deliver, number one, and that we're going to be able to operate through that promise to be able to get where we need to be. And we see through the scriptures at the end, they end up, Sarah has a baby. Sarah is Abraham's wife. She has a baby named Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob and Esau, and the whole nation of Israel is birthed out of Jacob. And we see that God fulfilled this promise. And he also, he didn't cheapen it when Abraham tried to cheapen it himself. And sometimes God wants us to see that, man, he's got so much power and so much stuff that he wants to do through us that it doesn't need to be cheapened by our circumstances. The fact that you feel like you're powerless in the situation that you're in right now doesn't mean you're always going to be powerless. Or doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to have power where you are right now. We can still be effective every single day of our life. We can still be effective in every situation that we're in. Just because we can't come to church the way we used to, just because we can't get together the way we used to, we can't access the Word of God or the preaching or the music like we were able to do before, doesn't mean that God doesn't want to have to give us power and let us be effective and allow us to be effective where we are right now. And I want you to remember that and be encouraged by that. To recap, man, we got to learn how to follow directions. We got to quit being the 4-year-old, be more like the 8-year-old. Take a step. You don't have to be a 31-year-old right now. Let's just make it the 8-year-old. Let's just follow the 1- and 2-step directions for a little while and see how God begins to use us. Number two, we got to have the faith that he's going to deliver on his end. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it feels like it's impossible, even when it feels like there's no way God could ever do that, man, he's big enough to do that. We got to learn to have the faith, just like Abraham did. He's not going to cheapen what he wants to do based on our expectations. What we can see physically is not going to limit him unless we just choose not to fulfill that promise. I challenge you not to do that. Last thing tonight, man. We talked about following directions. We talked about having the faith that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. The last thing is talking about my boy David. And David, before he took on Goliath, man, he had to learn how to fight. That's what I want to talk to you guys tonight about. David was, you know, not the biggest guy, not the strongest guy. The Bible said he was a pretty good looking dude, but he wasn't the most imposing specimen physically. He wasn't just going to show up and people run because he's scary looking. He's not that guy. And the story in the Bible, we find David as a shepherd. And I got to thinking about this some today and kind of laughed at myself for not having this realization before. But, you know, the way that the shepherds worked in this time period, they didn't just have like a 10-acre plot that was fenced in with woven wire and a hot wire on top to keep the predators out. They were in charge of managing these sheep over kind of a free-range situation. They kept their group here, and another person kept their group a little ways over, and that they all kind of had these spots that they would allow their sheep to graze in, but they didn't really have set out lots like we would keep sheep today. My dad had sheep for a little while, I think it was last year, and I learned a whole lot about sheep then, and people tell you it's true. They're pretty dumb. They don't follow directions well. They don't really understand. They kind of have to be led. They can't be driven. And so David had to learn how to protect these guys in the situation that he was in. And I could imagine, man, these young guys out here protecting these sheep, they probably all got a weapon of choice. And, you know, we know that David's was his slingshot. I can imagine him out there. He's got this little thing. He's just messing around with it. He's all the time throwing rocks at this and throwing rocks at that and trying to hit the bullseye here and trying to hit the bullseye there. But one day, something happens and a bear shows up. And he's pretty good with this slingshot. And he throws it and kills the bear. And he kills a lion. And he kills these things that begin to come at the flock. And because he had learned how to fight, because he had learned how to use his weapon, because he had learned that he could defeat a foe in a difficult situation, when he showed up and Goliath was talking smack, he was able to take him out because he knew how to fight. And there's times in our life where we have to learn how to fight. We've got to get a little bit more tenacious about what God wants us to do. This is a time in our lives and a time in the church where we can't just sit back and watch it happen anymore. We can't be like the army that was standing there with Saul and saying, man, this guy's way too big. Man, these circumstances are never going to change. Man, what we're dealing with is really hard. What's coming at us and people telling us we can't do this and can't do that and it's never going to be the same. It's so big. It's so scary. There's no way we can ever defeat it. But I challenge you to remember the victories that you've had in your past. To remember the things that God has shown you that you can overcome in the past. Maybe you've been healed from a disease. Maybe you've seen family members be saved and lives changed that you never thought would happen. Maybe you're that person whose life was changed. Maybe you've had victory over depression or anxiety or things that plague us or an addiction. And I challenge you to go back and remember what it was like to fight as you came out of those things. Because difficult situations require us to fight to get out of them. Hard times in our life require us to not just show up or to stand and watch. We have to fight to get out of them. And David knew what that was about. And we all know the story, man. He comes down to the valley. He's talking to him. Goliath says, man, what do you think? I'm a dog that you send your kids after me? And David says, man, I show up. I'm here in the power of God. I know his strength. And I know what I can do because I've been victorious in the past over things that have tried to take a flock of sheep, and you come up and try to take this flock of a country, and I can do that. I know how to be victorious in this situation, and I can take you out. It's added probably several words to that situation. But when I think about that, I feel like that's how he approached that. He was so confident in the power that God had given him that he could take on Goliath. And right now, I want you to think about where you are. Physically, mentally, emotionally, where are you at? What are you doing? How are you impacting the area around you? You're like, Logan, there's no way I can turn this tide in the country. Do you feel like you could turn the tide in a room? Could you show up in a room that's a negative environment or a room that's not very Christian and begin to turn the tide in a room? Maybe. That sounds a little more easy, a little more achievable for you. What about just in a relationship that you have that's gone sour? Do you feel like you can begin to impact and fight for that to be more Christian-like? To fight for your attitude to be different? Could you do that? If you can do that one part, if you can affect one situation around you in a positive way, man, we can begin to take back the ground that we've lost. We can begin to take back the things that Satan has tried to steal from the church and from Christians. And if I say, okay, man, I'm gonna impact one relationship that I have, that's gonna affect that person. And that person may be inspired to go do the same thing. Or man, I'm gonna take my home and I'm gonna make my home a church that is after God, and I'm gonna be the one that inspires that, and I'll stoke the fire and I'm gonna fight for that. Satan can't have this spot. We get that mentality. We begin to fight for our homes. And then our spouse begins to fight for a relationship that she or he has in a different situation. And then our kids see what it's like to fight for the things that they believe in. And they impact it. And they begin to change their schoolrooms or their friendships. And before long, this cascade grows and grows and grows. And we can take back what we've lost in America. We can take back what we feel like we've lost in church. We're not powerless. We feel like we are, but we're not. We've got to quit being so spoiled. We've got to quit just putting the plug in the wall and expecting our phone to be charged when we wake up in the morning and not thinking about the amount of energy it takes from a hydroelectric dam or a coal-powered substation or something like that, that energy has to come from somewhere. Our energy comes from God, and He wants us to have it, but He wants to give it to us when we're ready for it. And to get ready for that, we've got to learn to prepare. We've got to follow directions. Like I said earlier, be the 8-year-old, not the 4-year-old. Let's move forward. Let's quit being toddlers. I'm guilty of it, man. I don't follow directions very well. I don't like being told what to do. But I feel like when God tells us that thing and He begins to instruct us and remind us about what we're supposed to do as Christians. Man, love others. Be good to people. Go into all the world, man. Go wherever you at, preach the gospel. Go be fishers of men. Go do those things that God called us to do. The next thing, man, have the faith to believe that God's going to do what He said He's going to do. God wants to do great things in our church. In the scripture in the New Testament, when God says that greater things than the disciples did that we can do. We have the opportunity to do enormous things, but we got to have the faith that we can do that, and God can do those things through us. And the last thing, man, we got to have that mentality of fight. We got to believe and gain strength from victories we've seen in the past. Gain strength from times where we've seen God show up before. And maybe it wasn't quite as big as the situation we're facing now, but it was victories nonetheless. And it was a time where we saw God come out on top like He does. Maybe you can't think of one of those times in your life. Let me help you. Let me encourage you, like we did last week. Remember a couple things, man. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Goliath was hollering. He was fussing. He was coming at him hard. But his weapon didn't prosper against David because David knew who he was. And remember the scripture that says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Anything that's coming at you, anything that you feel like you're struggling with, God is bigger. And God is in us. And God is a God of triumph. He's all-time undefeated, undisputed, man. He is the champion. More than Muhammad Ali, my God can fight. And He's good at it. And He's good at winning battles. And you can be too, but we've got to understand how to do those things. Tonight, let's remember that. Let's remember what it's like to tap into the power that God has for us. But prepare ourselves for that. Prepare ourselves for the responsibility that comes with that. I challenge you to be that. Be that person that follows directions, has the faith, and learns and remembers how to fight. And then begin to fight and take back even the smallest piece of ground that you feel like Satan has taken from you. Whether it be one relationship. Maybe it's just a mindset of your own. Maybe you got to start right inside your head before you can go outside of it. Or right inside your heart before you can step out and begin to affect the lives of those around you. Challenge you to do that tonight. We get ready to close. I'm going to pray for you guys and encourage you, and hopefully we'll be able to jump back into this, not next week, but the week after. Next week we got a business meeting, so we'll jump into it the week after, I think. But let's pray together tonight. God, I thank You for this day. I thank You, God, that Your power is unlimited. God, that You don't have a a timer or a data usage limit or got a power usage limit or anything like that. You are all powerful. You have always been and you always will be. And God, I thank you that you want to have us get into the blessing of that power ourselves. And God, I pray that you would help us tonight to remember those simple steps, man. To follow those directions that you told us to do. To have the faith that you're going to do what you said you would do. And to begin to fight for the territory that we can have in front of us. To take back what we feel like Satan has stole from us. And God, I pray that you would just give us a passion to be able to attack that guy with a vengeance. To be tenacious about it, God. To be one who knows what we own and knows what you've given us, God. And to be that one who will fight to keep that ground. Pray, God, that you would help us to understand how big you are and how big you want to be in us. And God, I pray that you would just use each and every one of us as individuals to affect the area close to us and then begin to watch the cascade happen as we impact the lives around us. And you begin to bless that and you begin to just create that waterfall and snowball, God, of impact around us. We thank you, God, that you want to do those things in us and you want to use us to do those things. Be with us tonight, God. Help us to be encouraged where we are. God, help us to not be weary and well-doing. God, even when we're tired, even when we're struggling, even when we're fighting, God, to feel like every single thing we do, God, is more difficult than it should be. Help us to continue to follow after you, God, to continue to pursue you. God, to remember that when we acknowledge you and in all of our ways, God, that you will direct our paths and you'll show us which step to take next. Help us to remember that, God. Help us to remember who you are and help us to remember who we are in you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. And I hope you guys have a great week. Hope you start to prepare for that power that God wants to give for us. The next thing we're going to talk about, Lord willing, unless I change it on a Monday, like Roxanne loves when I do, the next thing we're going to talk about is perseverance. And how, after we've prepared, but sometimes we got to persevere to tap into that power. Hope you guys have an awesome week. God bless you.